to do respite care for a little boy called Connor, for 7 years. He was born with microcephaly, a brain that was too small, and his emotions and feelings and responses were that of someone much younger than his age. When he first came to me, like you do, you remove all the glass objects, anything that can be broken. And I borrowed some Lego from school. And he spent the whole of the weekend throwing Lego around the lounge. And every time he threw things, I'd say, "No, Connor, we don't throw things in Deborah's house." And at the end of the weekend, I thought, what on earth have I let myself in for? Anyway, his mum came to the door, and the first thing he said to her was, "We don't throw things in Deborah's house." Yay! Because of Connor's condition, he was childish and childlike. One of the things that I did once was to defrost chicken by putting it into a bowl of cold water. And I turned round and he was sobbing. I said, "What's the matter?" He was really, really upset because I was drowning a chicken. And yet, an example of being childlike. He would come into church on a Sunday morning, and anybody with grey hair was his grandma. And he used to point and say, "There's my grandma, there's my other grandma, there's my other grandma there." So there's a distinct difference between childishness and being childlike. He was a child, he was childish because he was a child, but also because of his special needs. And yet, childlike in the trust and faith he had as me as his carer and the people that he was introduced to and had started to build up relationships with. A child's complaints are compelling. Their experience of being treated unfairly takes over and can result in, as you all know, temper tantrums, screaming and crying. And Jesus sees his childishness in how some of the adults behave, particularly in the passage that we heard this morning. Jesus says, "To what then will I compare the children of this generation? And what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you and you didn't dance. We wailed and you didn't weep." It reminds us that children tend to act out their feelings at the present moment. Mature adults would. We can share our feelings, but can also put order into our life and give preference to reason and trust when appropriate. God helps us to grow into this kind of maturity. And so, and through our relationship with him, we learn to follow his ways. Children complain to one another when the rules of the games are not observed. Jesus sees that adults too can have simplistic expectations and readily make superficial comparisons. And so he asks us to look beyond the surface, to reflect more fully, to let our prayer go deeper. And if we're able to give time and attention to notice God and where he's moving in our midst, we may be able to receive those gifts of wisdom and insight. Essentially, it's our relationship with God. And from our relationship with God, our relationship with each other, with community. So I'm going to finish with just two short stories. Once, a man was walking around the lakeside on a bright, calm, sunny day. He stopped to gaze at the lake and saw in the still water his own reflection and was fascinated by what he saw. "This is who I am," he pondered to himself. The next day, wanting to remind himself of this marvel, he returned to the lakeside. But overnight, the weather had changed, and a strong wind now ruffled the water, and his image seemed to be distracted and disturbed. "Is this really who I am?" he wondered. The next day, he went again to the lakeshore, but now bad weather had set in and it was raining. His reflection in the lake was blurred and indistinct. It seemed to him that it was a very confused version of himself that stared back from the water. Time passed, and one day an enormous storm blew up. Eager to see the lake and the weather, the man went to the shore again. And this time, the self he saw was reflected, full of anger and raging with the dark skies overhead. Is this the real me? He asked himself. All the while, a sly fox had been watching the man's reaction. The man heard a low growl of mirth in the bushes and turned to see the fox laughing at him. You foolish human, said the fox. You are looking at what is merely a reflection of who you are, changing with every passing mood of the weather. How can you believe that this is the real you? But where is the real me? Inquired the man. Come back here in the depths of winter, and you'll find who you are, said the fox. And so it came to pass. That winter arrived, and the lake froze, and the snow fell, covering everything that grew on the lakeside. The man returned and gazed at the pristine whiteness of the silent lake. There is no me in the lake anymore, he said to the fox, sitting patiently beside him. Exactly so, said the fox. Now you can no longer settle for those passing images or projections of yourself. The lake is an empty canvas. It invites you to become the person you truly are. Look inside your own heart. Look deeper than your passing moods and thoughts. Look to God. There you will discover who you are. The second story takes it a bit further about finding out who we are and how we can be in community. There was once a village that had fallen on hard times. The villagers there had been really happy, and the community had been famous for its hospitality and friendliness and warmth, with which it welcomed strangers. But something had gone wrong in the village, and the people began to bicker with one another. Quarrels broke out for no apparent reason. Rivalries sprang up where once there had been friendship and trust. The chief of the village was very sad about this. He knew the people would never be happy like this, but he could do nothing to restore the old times of harmony and peace. Strangers no longer wanted to come to the village, and the people stopped caring for it and for each other. The village was falling into ruin. But it happened that one day a stranger came by. He approached the village with one mission, as though he already knew what he would find there. And very soon he met the village chief. He recognised the sad eyes, and the two were engaged in a serious conversation. The village chief told the stranger about his feelings of despair and fears that the village would disintegrate. The stranger told the village chief that he might know a way to redeem the village again, to restore it to being a real community, where people respected and loved each other. Please tell me the secret, the village chief begged of the stranger. The secret is very simple, the stranger said by reply. The fact is, one of the villagers is actually the Messiah. The village chief could hardly believe what he was hearing. But the stranger had an air of authority about him. The stranger left, but the village chief couldn't resist telling his closest friend what the stranger had told him. And soon this went right through the village. One of us is the Messiah. Can you believe it? Somewhere, hidden among our numbers, the Messiah is living. So deep down, the villagers were a godly folk who wanted things to be right in their community. The thought that the Messiah might be living with them, incognito, made them see things very differently. Could it be the baker, they wondered, or the postman, or wrong? Or the old lady who breeds the chickens and sells the eggs? Or perhaps it was Granny Rowley, whom the children were in the habit of taunting because of her old face. The speculation went on and on. But the funny thing was, after the stranger's visit, things were never the same again. People began to treat each other with reverence. They lived like people who had a common purpose, who were seeking for something precious together, never quite knowing whether treasure was actually right in front of them. And before long, visitors began to come to the village just to be part of the happy, holy atmosphere that prevailed there. And the stranger never came back. He didn't need to.